Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence?" This one criminal obviously believed that the other criminal should fear God, especially in light of the fact that they were being sentenced to death for legitimate crimes. When you read the Mark account of this event, you see that at one point, both criminals were heaping insults on Jesus. But at some point in the dying process, one of these two criminals must have come to terms with the fact that he was about to meet his maker. And he wasn't going to meet him under the best of circumstances. He was under a sentence of death for a crime. And so not only was this guy not a good Jew, if he was a Jew at all, but he wasn't a good person. And thus the thought of standing before the judgment seat of God without much to show for his life must have made him reconsider the prudent nature of the insults that he was heaping upon this innocent man, Jesus. And so he backed off of his insults and then even challenged the other criminal to do the same. "Don't you fear God," he said to his fellow criminal. And the answer was undoubtedly no. That's probably one of the main reasons that he got into trouble to begin with. He didn't fear God. He didn't have a sense of the eternal. He didn't believe in any law outside of himself. He did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. That's why he was there dying. That's why he was sentenced to death. That's the problem with those who don't fear God, who have no reverent awe for him. They don't think about the eternal ramifications of things. You know, it's one thing not to fear the worldly authorities, those authorities that can arrest you or imprison you or even execute you. But it's entirely something else not to fear God, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds in his hands the power of life and death, both here in this world and in eternity, the one who holds the keys of heaven in his hands. That's why the scriptures state that it is only the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. Only an ignorant fool would dismiss the wonders of this world as just happening by chance. And only an ignorant fool would dare to face eternity in defiance of the Almighty. The Pharaoh in Egypt didn't fear God. So God sent 10 plagues to decimate his kingdom. And then he killed the Pharaoh and his entire army in the Red Sea. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't fear God. So God rained down burning sulfur from heaven. completely destroy those two cities. The people in the days of Noah didn't fear God. So God sent a flood to kill every single man, woman, and child on earth, save for those eight who were in the ark. Ananias and Sapphira didn't fear God. And so God struck them dead in an instant for lying to the Holy Spirit. These are just a few of the examples in the Holy Scriptures, but there are many more. And in every instance, it never ends well for those who fail to fear God. Not fearing God ends in death and destruction. Every time. Both in this life and in the world, the life to come. Jesus said that for those whom he never knew, or we might say those who don't fear God, that they will be told to depart from him. And they will be condemned to eternal punishment, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound good. But for those who fear God, the scriptures state that they will be blessed. And they will be welcomed into an eternal dwelling, into a room in a mansion that has been specially prepared for them, where there will be a great banquet feast with the choicest meats and the finest of wines, where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, where every tear will be wiped from their eyes, where everything, it said, will be made new, and where they will receive the crown of everlasting life, there to live with God for all eternity. That's what those who fear God will receive, because that's what Jesus earned for them. That's what he earned for us by dying on a cross and by rising from a grave. He bought our forgiveness and he won our salvation. To fear God means to live in reverent awe of his power and his love. It's to recognize that God is holy and we are not. It's to understand that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in him, come to him, satisfy him, or even love him. Because we are by nature sinful and unclean. It's to know that our life is completely in his hands. And that our salvation can only be accomplished by his grace, his mercy, and his love. To fear God is to say to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. And then to know that he does have mercy on us because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. That's what it means to live with godly fear. It's to recognize who he is and then also know who we are in relation to him. He is God, the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of life. We are his creation. Loved, forgiven, and saved only because of his grace. May the knowledge of who he is and who we are help us to be renewed in our lives of godly fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.